This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It is so fantastic to be with you again today. I am so thankful. How about you? Are you thankful today? You know, it says in the Bible, in all things give thanks. And I'm finding as life keeps going and time keeps ticking that I'm realizing more and more just how important that is to give thanks. You know, I was reliving my situation with my accident with my leg and everything. And something that I realized, and I the only reason I'm saying this is maybe there's things that this is going to kind of spurt in you, is that I've realized that since my accident, I am walking and it's a miracle. I am dancing again. But you know what the biggest thing I'm thinking about is that I used to water ski and snow ski and do all these other things. And now I'm realizing that I have limitations, and I'm realizing that I have to remember, I have a memory of the last time I water skied. And at the time I was going to take that last time of plunging into that water and getting my ski on and saying, hit it, that I had no idea at that moment that it was going to be the last time that I do that. And when I got on the horse, I had no idea that that was most likely the last time I'd get on a horse. Is there something right now that you're thinking about doing or that you do regularly without really thinking about it and giving thanks that you can do it? Because there could come a time that you might not be able to. And it could be a simple thing like a relationship. You know, we never know the last time we hug somebody if that's going to be the last time. We don't know when we say, I love you. We don't know if that's going to be the last time we say, I love you. We don't know if it's the last time we will be talking to that person on the phone and hearing their laugh. And those of you that have lost loved ones, you know what I'm talking about. It's hitting you right in your heart of just how sad that is. That we don't know the last time, do we? We don't know. So I'm just encouraging you and prodding you to realize that we have so many things to be thankful for in this life, and we need to not take these things and these people that we love so much for granted, because you never know, do we? We never know. God knows, but we don't know. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in and it's your first time tuning in, there's a reason why you've tuned in, so don't tune out. And if you listen to this broadcast and you find that there's something that you would like to share, it's okay. Don't be worried about it, because we have a website and it's called SueFreeze.com, and Sue Freeze is spelled like Sue Fries, one word, .com. And you can go there and you can hear any podcast. I've been doing this for almost 3 years now. Can't believe it. Time flies like that, but it does. But it's been almost 3 years. You can go on there and you can listen to any podcast. So even the one today that you're going to hear, that you can spread the word and you can pass this on down the road. If you think of somebody that needs to hear it or, you know, can learn from this. So just know that that's available to you. We also are simulcasted, and this is amazing too. And we go from Santa Barbara, we go up to Santa Maria, all the way down to San Diego to the sister station, KPRZ. So welcome all you listeners that are listening, and we love having you all listen. And you can also on the SueFreeze.com site, you can become a newsletter receiver, and you can go on to different parts of it. There's helping hands and whatnot. So take your time and go in there and check it out, because it's really something. And there's a lot of wonderful things on that website that can help you or a family member or whatnot. So that was kind of long-winded, but it was necessary just to give you that background information. Today I have a person. His name is Britt Fuller, pastor of Living Stones Church and Neighborhood Center in Canoga Park, California. Britt relocated 2 years ago with his family to live and learn in the Lanark Park neighborhood and felt called to plant a church. Now, there's a calling, isn't it? Boy, I can't even imagine what that must be like. I can't imagine. Britt believes that the gospel has the reconciling power to break through the socioeconomic barriers of language, ethnicity, and class in his neighborhood as disciples are made and the gospel is fully proclaimed and demonstrated. The church's vision is to be a reconciled and reconciling multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-class, gospel-centered community. Say all that real fast. Welcome to the show, Britt.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, it is a pleasure. And we were talking off the air, and I asked you what would be the main goal. What is the motivation for you to come on our show, and what's the motivation to have this time spent with you? And your answer to the motivation is?
Yeah, I think just to be able to share this vision that I believe that the Lord has given me, and now is our church's vision, as you read it, to be reconciled and reconciling, but then all of those multis that follow it. So that would be my goal.
So it says faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So first of all, we're supposed to be loving one another. And sometimes with our language differences and our backgrounds and our culture, sometimes it's difficult to close the gap, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what part of we see the gospel really focus on relationships that and we believe at the heart of that is relationships, that these relationships have been broken, you know, first with God and then secondly with each other. And so that's the idea behind being reconciled first with God and then also being reconciling with each other, that's this ministry that we've been given to be reconcilers. But what we see in our culture, kind of all those multis that I've listed, the multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-class, those are socioeconomic barriers that we face. And that I think that the church needs to overcome through the power of the gospel, that we would be reconciled despite those barriers and be one in Christ.
We do have to seek to understand more than to be understood. And that is so clear when you're dealing with people and where, you know, their backgrounds and where they're coming from. And if you don't understand their background, it's hard for you to kind of mold or, you know, to bring it all together. So it is really important. And when you have language barriers, it's very difficult because to communicate, you know, we need to communicate, and it's difficult to do if you don't understand a different language or a different culture. So how do you close that gap?
Yeah, for us, we really felt called to relocate is the word that I use, but kind of looking at that from a biblical perspective would be just to be incarnational. And so, as I said, my family and I, we moved into a neighborhood, and many say a neighborhood where we don't belong, and based on those, you know, our ethnicity or our language or even our class. And just wanted to be part of the neighborhood, to experience the neighborhood, to learn there from our neighbors. And even as we moved into the neighborhood, we made a commitment that we were going to live here at least a year and just build relationships before we ever move forward with ministry, in a sense, or any type of formal ministry. And so we had to see that example in Christ and his incarnation. And even as we come into the Christmas season and think about that, of this incarnation of God himself, and that how Jesus dwelt among us, that he lived among us. He didn't relocate. He didn't minister, drive in and minister to earth and then go back to heaven. He came and he stayed and he lived with us. And then he also identified with us fully, that he became, although he was fully God, he became fully human and fully experienced what we experienced. And so in my neighborhood, that's our hope, is that through relocating, through living in this community, we get to identify with as much as possible. With our neighbors, their problems become my problems, their issues are my issues that we face, and then also that we would just live there, that we're not coming and going, but this is where we've decided to plant our roots and to raise our family and to have our church as well.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to Britt Fuller, pastor of Living Stones Church in Canoga Park. Scripture says the two things is to love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body. And number two is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do those two things, because I always I want to know what to do in order to you know, to go and be what I need to be for God. And if we do those two things, he says, everything else will work itself out. And so basically, with those two scriptures, that's what you're saying that you did, is that you're loving thy neighbor as thyself. You just said that their problems become your problems. How often, listener, do we turn, you know, we turn our heads and we're so involved in our own lives and our own work and our own problems that we don't take on the problems or the lives of our neighbors? And by not doing that, by not taking the time to not taking time to breathe, to not taking time to pay attention to what's going on right around you, you are losing or missing opportunities to show Christ. You're losing or missing the opportunity to be, you know, who God has called you to be. And, you know, Britt, you said that you were called to plant a church. And I've heard this before, but could you tell me how that happened? What happened? What led up to this church? And then the next question is going to be is why you call it Living Stones. I find that a very interesting name for a church. And we'll go into that. But first of all is what led up to the calling to plant a church? Because that's a huge endeavor.
Yes, I didn't have an experience, you know, on the Damascus Road, anything like that. It's just as we moved, as God moved in my heart, particularly for, as you look through the Old Testament and you understand God's heart for the orphan, the widow, the poor, and the stranger, so being the immigrant. And so that was our heart. Lord, how do you want me to serve? How do you want me to be a reconciler, to have this ministry of reconciliation in those areas? And so part of that was feeling, like I said, that we need to move into a neighborhood where those are my neighbors. And so being in that neighborhood, we realized this neighborhood needs the gospel. This neighborhood, that the church would be the embodiment of Christ as God the Father sent his Son to represent him and to demonstrate himself, to incarnate himself, that now Christ is also sending us. It says that in the Gospel of John. And so that's what we felt, that we could be sent in this neighborhood to be the gospel, but to love on our neighbors, to serve our neighbors, but then also to walk with our neighbors and what that looks like as a part of our community. So I think in regards to the calling, a lot of times people think destination when they think calling, but really what God has shown me is God's going to send me in a direction, and that was the direction he gave me. I didn't know that it would come to fruition in the sense of a church, but just continued in this direction, and God continued to make those next steps visible to me and really made that clear to me as we move forward.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking to Britt Fuller, pastor of Living Stones Church in Canoga Park. And we're talking about how he got started with planting this church and what was the reason behind it. In past shows, and quite often there's this common thread, is that people find a need and then whether you call it God calling you, which that is truly what happens, but you find a need and you fill it. And if God has given you the gifts, you know, if you have the strengths to do something, then it would be such a shame to not fulfill that within God's calling for your life. So when I hear people talk about their own personal stories and what they're doing in their lives to help, I'm really wanting the listener, you listener, to hear it, to say, is there something more I could be doing in my community? Is there something I'm missing here, God? Is there something that I could be doing that could make a difference? Because at the end of the day, what really matters? Is it how many memos you write? No, that's not what's going to matter. What's going to matter is, are you making a difference today? Let's just focus on today, okay? Let's do one day at a time. Some people say one breath at a time. Whatever it is, you need to be focused on not so much of yourself. And I don't know where you are in your life, listener. I don't know. And you could be down and out. You could be at the lowest part in your life. And what I say to you is, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. And I don't know what that is, but I know I've reached lows, and I know that they can be very lonely. But I also know that there's a Heavenly Father that's here, and he's right here, and he's here to console you. I always say, you know, I want his arms around me. I don't feel his arms, but he does have people around that can lend their arms to hold you. And we need to be looking out, and we need to be looking for a focus on how we can make this place a better place. And as we do that, it's amazing how this happens, but it pulls us out. It gets us out of bed. It gets us back onto at least motion. We need to be in motion in order for things to happen. If there's no motion, nothing happens. So no matter where you are in your life, whether you're at a good place and a good time or you're in a low time, all I can suggest to you is to ask the Lord to guide your steps, to guide your breaths, to guide your thoughts, and to ask him to, guide you and get you out in a direction so that you can find out what God's calling is for your life, as Britt Fuller did with what he's talking about right now with Living Stones Church. So that was just a calling out to you, listener, that no matter where you are, whether you're on the receiving or the giving end, you know, do your part to make a difference, especially right now. Do you know that the holidays are just the most difficult time for people? It's very difficult because there's an empty chair where there used to be a loved one there. It's just a sad time. It's also a very wonderful traditional time of love and holiday and gifts and, you know, eating and all those fun things. But it's a sad time for those that have lost somebody close to them. It's a sad time to realize they're not in the same place or they've got broken dreams that they didn't realize were going to happen. So no matter where you are in your life, the show is to help you have hope, to give you hope when you might be feeling hopeless, and to also say that tomorrow's another day and the birds sing and the sun comes up and it's a new day. It's a new day every morning. So I hope that gives you a little hope if you're on the low side. If you're on the high side, give some of that high to somebody that you know that's low. Reach out. Look for that opportunity to just love on somebody today. Okay, can you do that? Can you be a blessing to someone today? It's amazing how that, you know, the giver receives so much more than the receiver. It's pretty amazing. Have you found that to be true, Britt?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me, how did you come up with Living Stones Church?
Yeah, we just, as I was reading through Scripture and just asking the Lord, you know, how would we move forward in this? And one of the first things is to identify a name. And so as I was in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about, it says, as you come to him, and it's talking about Christ, and it says that he was the living stone that was rejected by men, but in the sight of God was chosen and precious. And so then in verse 5, he says, you yourselves, as he's talking to the church, he says, you're like living stones that are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so that was my heart, is that that God would bring together this group of living stones, these new stones that he would make, these that he would bring together for this purpose, and that he would build us up into a spiritual house in Lanark Park in my neighborhood, that we would be a demonstration of him, that we would be just demonstrate his glory and manifest him in that neighborhood. And it talks about to be a holy priesthood, so that we would offer ourselves on behalf of God, as I said, that we would be his ambassadors, as I've talked about before from 2 Corinthians, which is talking about being ambassadors of this reconciliation that comes through the gospel. And so that's what we are seeking to do, is just come together. None of the stones hopefully look the same, as I've talked about, that we are of different backgrounds, but yet we can come together and have this unity because of the gospel, that the gospel is powerful enough to break down all of those barriers of class and ethnicity and language, and yet we could demonstrate the unity we have in Christ, and that gospel, that reconciling relationship with Christ, is more important than anything else and more powerful than anything else in our lives.
You keep using that reconciliation word, and this show, a lot of the times I have rewords, and I've kind of gotten away from it, but it's funny that this word is here, and it's re, and re came to me from the Lord as being second chance. You know, it's a second chance. It's a second opportunity. So reconciliation, I'm trying to fully comprehend what it is you're saying when you are saying that word.
Yeah,
what does that look like?
I think the best example is in Ephesians 2. And as Paul is talking to the Gentiles, actually, and he says, but you were once far off, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And these dividing walls of hostility, as he talked about, between these ethnic backgrounds of Jew and Gentile, that through Christ, through the cross, those have been broken down. And now that God was making one new body, one body through the cross, and killing this hostility, killing these these barriers of socioeconomic backgrounds, and so that we'd be made one through the cross. And so that's what Christ, as I mentioned before, it all comes down to relationships. And so our relationship, because of the fall, because of sin, has been broken with God, and yet it's also not just with God, but it's been broken horizontally with each other. And so as we experience the gospel, as we experience that forgiveness, as we experience the advocate of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, and that makes a difference in our lives and in our eternity, our relationship is made right with God. But then I think what we tend to not necessarily flesh out is that our relationship then also is made right with each other within the body. So those that are part of the body, we should be reconciled with each other. Those relationships should be made right. So just in general, that idea of reconciliation is to make a relationship right. And so that's what, you know, in my neighborhood, I see the issues and the sin are because of those broken relationships with God and broken relationships with each other. And it starts vertical. It starts with the Lord. It starts with that, but it should move us into these horizontal relationships being repaired and restored as well.
You know, I've, marriages. I've talked to many married couples, and I, you know, people that have been married a long time, I always ask them, what's the secret? What's the secret to your marriage, to staying married that long? You know, what's the secret? I want to know what the secret is. I ask a lot of questions. I try to dig deep because I really want to know. I want to know the answers to all this. And some people say it's sense of humor, and it could be people that don't, you know, that aren't believers. And I also know that people that have gone through really hard times and whatnot, that the glue is to look up first. It's God first. And that's what the Bible says, is that you want to put him first. So if you're married and you're having a struggle, the suggestion or the suggestion, and it's a strong one, is to put, you know, he's requiring this. He wants to be first in your life. He wants to be first in your heart. So no matter where you are in relationship, your first relationship needs to be looking up and understanding who God is and who you are in Christ. Then second is to love thy neighbor. Now, who is your neighbor? It's everyone, including your spouse. You know, it's everyone. So that's what Britt is saying, too, is that, you know, first of all, aligning yourself with God, and secondly, to become one with your neighbor, to understand your neighbor's needs, to make yourself available. That's a big one, isn't it, in this busy world? To make yourself available. And I think that's probably what this neighborhood center is about. Tell me a little bit more about the neighborhood center.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what what other folks might call our church. We call the neighborhood center, my congregation, we refer to it as the building. Just realizing that the church is the body and the church is the people. And so with that idea, we actually opened up a space that's in the neighborhood and where we live. It's, you know, just we walk to church when we go. It's adjacent to the park. And our heart for that space is this is a place where we can love our neighbor. It's a place where we can serve our neighbor. But then it's also a place where we can walk with our neighbor. And so, you know, our heart for that, our vision for that is that it's busy Monday through Saturday with the neighborhood coming and going with us, you know, having those relationships with those in our neighborhood. But then on Sunday, we also gather there for worship. And the gospel will be centered to all those things, but yet it is not, in a typical sense, you know, the church building. It's a place where the neighborhood comes and the neighborhood is able to participate as well.
That's awesome. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back again, and we're talking to Brett Fuller, pastor of Livingstone's Church and Neighborhood Center, and we're talking to him about, you know, why he felt the need to start this church, and just some of the differing things. If you're just tuning in, I also want to let you know that if you're just tuning in, that you can go to Sue Fries, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can get this podcast and share this podcast if you like, you know, anytime you want. And you also can listen live by going to KKLA.com, and you push the little button says listen live, and you can listen live. So you can get out of your car if you're listening on the radio in your car and you want to go inside, you can do that, which is great. I love that you can do that now. Wasn't always that way. So we were talking about what it's like to be the neighborhood center, and that, you know, what you do and everything with a neighborhood center. Can you tell me a story that kind of jerks on the heart? Can you tell me a story like that? Do you have one?
Yeah, I think, as I said, within my neighborhood, sometimes I call it ministry for dummies. I walk out my door, it's ministry. You know, my neighbors, I live in an apartment building that's next to an apartment building that's next to an apartment building that's across the street from a park. There's just people coming and going. And so it's hard not to connect. It's hard not to be involved. I love it that I can walk out, and I think about a gentleman in our body that's now a believer, and I can be pulling out of the driveway, going out to eat with my family, coming out of our back alley where we park, and can see him, and he can jump in the car and go with my family. And he's a Spanish-speaking Hispanic man, and we can do our best to have a conversation in Spanish and enjoy a meal with him, you know, to take him to eat, to have that time with my family, and to see my kids interact with them, to see my kids try to speak Spanish to my kids as they're learning that, to be able to interact and be able to have time with this man that is so beneficial, that's so needed for us as a body, is so needed for them, and can learn from him and can grow from him and hearing his experience that's so different from their experience. And so I'm so thankful for things like that. I can think about coming home from church on a Sunday afternoon, walking home with my son, missing my time with him during the week. I try to take my kids out to have one-on-one time one morning of the week each week, and I have four kids, but thankfully one's still three, so I don't have to take her out yet. but I hadn't taken my son, and I'm coming home, and literally there is a man laying on my sidewalk in front of our apartment building. He's by the park laying on the sidewalk. He'd fallen out of his wheelchair, was laying there with his ID, his information, you know, just spread across across the sidewalk. And here I am with my son, and here I have the opportunity to say, you know, what would Jesus do? And, you know, as I think about one of the verses that really, as I've been teaching through 1 John, is just this idea in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, ought to walk in the way in which Jesus walked. It says we're actually indebted to do that. We ought to do that. And I was faced with a choice. How do I respond, and what do I do? And here's my son with me. And so we talked to him. We tried to roll him over. We helped him gather his stuff. We put him in his wheelchair and said, hey, we're going to McDonald's to have a treat. Would you like lunch? And he came with us and sat with us. And I get to sit with my 8-year-old son at the table with me, with this man who is in this situation, and just love on him, listen to him, and spend time with him. And then to see him now, I think it's about 6 weeks later, through that interaction, and at one point he didn't even remember me, but continued to see him in the neighborhood at different times, and my son with me. And now he actually is attending our church and has been part of our gatherings, and we'll be in our house for dinner. We'll be, you know, in our fellowship dinners, and just to see God begin to work. You know, he's our neighbor now. He's just with us. He's, you know, he's starting to walk with us and connect with us, but we can proclaim the gospel and demonstrate the gospel. And there he was just at our feet. And as we walked through our neighborhood. And so it's so amazing for me that God would give those opportunities, and that too, I can train up my children in that they can watch that, they can participate in that. I don't have to take them somewhere or go somewhere, but we can just do ministry as we live out life. It's a part of our life.
You are listening to The Sue Fries Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to Brett Fuller, pastor of Livingstone's Church in Canoga Park. You know, Brett, when I think about this, I think about before I bought Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, I was very heavily involved in my church. And I've said this before a long time ago. And at the time that I purchased Ecola, I realized that my time was going to be spent learning a lot. I had a lot to learn, and the pressure was tremendous. And I had to go to the pastor and say, I have to, you know, I have to decline. I have to pull myself out of all the responsibilities as head usher and worship team and usher. You know, I just was doing so many things for the church, and I loved it. I loved feeling plugged in. I loved feeling like I was making a difference and that God was using me and using my gifts. And it was a wonderful thing. But what I realized is that I had to back down from all of those things because I had a new endeavor, and it was a God endeavor, but I didn't realize it at the time. And so no matter where you are planted, you know, somebody, I need to give credit where credit is due. And I don't know who said this, but it says bloom where you're planted. Do you know who says that?
I'm not sure, but I had a professor that would say that.
Yeah, it's bloom where you're planted, meaning no matter where you are, God can use you. You don't have to straighten up. You don't have to do anything. God will use you right where you are. And so you just have to look for a need and fill it. I have little concern with your story, though. I have to tell you, as a mother, we're protective. You know, we've got our little chicks and we're protective. And living in a comfortable situation, in a safe environment, my kids grew up in Simi Valley. They were very protected, and they were very trusting. And so my concern is, you know, hearing all the stories that I hear nowadays and everything, is that I just feel like I have to, you know, be a little concerned about an 8-year-old who's seeing this, which is giving God's love and everything. But also there needs to be a caution given to the children that, you know, the only reason this is okay right now is because I'm with you and I'm here to protect you. I don't know if we would want our 8-year-old, you know, being that loving. And I don't know, I'm just having an apprehension here on teaching, you know, don't cross the street without holding my hand. There are some bad people in this wonderful world we live in. And so I have a little concern with that. And I just wanted to, I don't know, listeners' ages and whatnot. And yes, we need to look for the need and we need to fill it, but we also need to be cautious about what we're getting into. Because I find myself being a little too trusting sometimes, just not realizing that there's some bad people in this world. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think that is definitely a concern. It's something that people bring up in regards to where we live and our neighborhood. One of the pieces is I don't have to teach my kids about the effects of sin. They see the effect of sin. They see what that looks like, and they see what God can do and how God can restore. And so it's a ripe ministry. It's a ripe lab, you know, for them to walk in and see.
Yeah.
I know from my kids, I came from Chicago. And so living in Southern California, they think they're, you know, we have a small pool in our apartment and there's a park across the street. So they think they're on vacation still after a couple of years. but part of that is then as you move into the neighborhood, this wasn't the first time I had seen this man. These, because I see them, because they are my neighbors, because I interact with them daily, because I park next to them and walk next to them, and I'm in the, you know, playing basketball across the street with them. My kids are in the leagues, you know, in the park leagues at Lanark Park there, where we have relationships, and you have that, and so you become more trusting because they become your neighbors. But there is that sense too, yeah, of how we need to protect and how we walk through that. To be as wise as serpents, but yet as innocent as doves. And so it's something that they have to learn. But I think it's a great advantage even that they have, that they can walk with us as and learn that themselves.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that too. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, I'm excited to see what's going to happen as time goes on. Mm-hmm. What does a gathering look like at Living Stones? What, you know, kind of explain what a gathering would be like. You know, you're explain the fellowship.
Yeah, our... hopefully our Sunday gathering, as I had someone visit, I think 2 weeks ago, she came in. She was a student, actually, from EBC there in Simi Valley.
Uh-huh.
So we're on the west side of the valley, so sometimes they'll cross over, and we actually have several EBC students as part of our body. But she had come to visit, and afterwards was asking her, you know, what do you think? You know, and she's like, I've never seen anything like this. This makes no sense. I have no way to consider this grid. Like, I don't understand. Yeah, it's just nothing that she's seen like before. And so as we gather, we do everything in both languages. So our service is fully bilingual. With our time of worship, we go back and forth to Spanish to English. We have the interpretation underneath, but we even ask folks to sing in Spanish and then sing in English. So the English speakers are singing in Spanish, the Spanish speakers are singing in English at the different times. And so with our times of corporate prayer and collective prayer, we have an interpreter that walks around with a microphone, and if someone prays, whether it's in Spanish or English, they're interpreting at the same time for the other language. And so those are fully bilingual. The place where we're still moving towards being bilingual and reflecting our neighborhood is in the teaching. Right now, I have that teaching role primarily, and I'm an English speaker. That's my heart language, and that's what I teach in. And we do have simultaneous interpretation. So I have an interpreter sitting up with me, and instead of me saying a sentence and the interpreter saying a sentence, it's really they're just right behind me with both at the same time. And so that's what our formal service looks like. And right now, that's what I feel like one of the huge prayer requests that we have is for praying for. I'm a white man. I'm an English speaker. And to have a Latino man that would join me, that would share that leadership responsibility, share that teaching responsibility with me. And when I say that, not just someone that speaks Spanish, but someone that is fully Latino, that comes from a Latino perspective and a Latino background, and yet he and I could teach in very different ways, but yet end up at this same gospel, this same truth, and then really apply it to our body, as our body does reflect that. Our body is you know, at this point, we do have those multi pieces, you know, multi-ethnic, multi-class, and multilingual. We have monolingual Spanish speakers and monolingual English speakers. We have folks that are joining us that don't have a place to stay and that come in that participate with us that are homeless, and we have, you know, so it's just a myriad of people, and hopefully it looks like, at least in my experience, it looks like nothing I've seen before, but yet we just have this vision that would become more of that.
So is this only this, you said that people are coming from Simi Valley and other places, so is this open to people that might be listening that don't have a home church, that don't have a place to go, or they know somebody that is close by or whatnot? Some of these people, I'm sure, don't even have vehicles in order to get far away from where they live. But is this open to people, or is this only for the people in your neighborhood?
Yeah, it's absolutely open. We have some folks that have some students from EBC that have relocated and now live in the neighborhood. We have other folks that live in adjacent neighborhoods that come in and participate. So it's not a requirement. I think in some sense our ministry is focused, you know, in the neighborhood, and even folks that live outside, they have, in a sense, relocated parts of their lives. Like we have a family that they've committed to being in the neighborhood and their kids playing sports at Lanark Park, even though they don't live in the neighborhood. So there are different ways to connect and different ways to be in those relationships. But yeah, it's definitely open and definitely something we would encourage.
You keep mentioning ABC. What is that? I'm sorry that I don't know.
Oh, EBC. I'm sorry.
Oh, EBC. Oh, okay. EBC. Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Cornerstones.
Yeah. So yeah. We're actually a church plant of Cornerstone.
Okay. 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 That's great. Yes. My daughter attends there, and it's a great church. Yeah. She's taking classes at that that college too. So it's a great place. So you moved your family. How did God call you from where you were to California? Was that to plant a church, or did that happen after?
No, yeah, the sort of the church planning came after, but we definitely, I had gone to Moody Bible Institute for graduate school, for seminary, and had been doing that on the full-time family, full-time job in ministry, part-time school track. So it took me several years to finish. But as we were finishing that and plugged into our local church, just realizing that some of that with the idea of the vision and relocating and being in a neighborhood of need was not necessarily the what they were focusing on. And really just but felt through my training and felt through what God was showing me that the church needed to be at the center of that, and that God would move through his church. And we had, my wife, who had much more faith than I had at the time, says we had heard of Cornerstone and of that time of Francis Chan, and she sent an email, and I told her, you're crazy, don't send an email, they're just going to, you know, you'll get a form email back, you know, there'll just be one of the thousands. And she sent it, and of course we got the form email back, and I laughed, you know, a little bit and said, I told you so. And then a couple of weeks later, we got a call from Jose Luis Amasquita, who was the Hispanic pastor there at Cornerstone and the global missions pastor at the time. And he says, I don't know why I'm calling you. I don't do this. This is not how I operate. I haven't done this before, but I feel like I need to talk to you guys. I feel like I need to hear your heart. And so we just shared with him over the phone. And then after talking, and we did that over several months, a few different times, and just really got to the point where it's like, I feel like the Lord is in this. And the next step would be to see this thing on the ground, to see Cornerstone and what we what we had witnessed through books and through podcasts, and just understanding their heart, and feeling like we had like hearts and like-minded, in a sense. And so we came out, and they just promised us a relationship, you know, to walk with us and to be with us. And so as we came out and moved in this neighborhood where we are in Canoga Park, we started attending the Hispanic congregation there at Cornerstone, and then were sent out a little after, about a year and a half after being there. And so they've been supportive with us in regards to leadership and just walking with us and being able to support us in that way as we've really started this church and dove into ministry.
And how long has the church been going?
We've been gathering for about a year and a half. And then in the neighborhood, actually we're coming right up on a year that we've been gathering in the neighborhood. We started gathering in homes and just, you know, collecting together prior.
But and how many people attend your Sunday?
Yeah, we have on a Sunday morning from, you know, 40 to 50 adults.
Wow.
At this time. And so, yeah, we're excited just to see what God will do. And as he grows us into what we feel like is this vision, to really love on the neighborhood and really to raise up people from the neighborhood. That's, you know, our heart is to see leaders raised up from the neighborhood and to grow in Christ.
That's inspiring, and it's such a wonderful gift to be able to give, but also to receive, in the sense that down the road, your children and everything are watching how God moves, and what a wonderful witness that is just in itself, but also to see these people's lives transformed and to be able to watch that and be part of it is just such an amazing thing, so much more important than so many other things that we could be doing moment to moment. It's wonderful to be able to be a part of any type of ministry, because ministry is loving people and it changes lives, and it's a wonderful thing. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA, and we're talking to Brett Fuller, who's the pastor of Livingstone's Church in Canoga Park. If you hear this broadcast and you know somebody that is Latino and that is a pastor, I don't know what the requirements are. I know it's to love the Lord and to want to love people, but I'm sure there's a little more than that, at least. But if you hear this broadcast and you know somebody that could fill this slot, obviously they've been praying about it, and it would be from the Lord, you need to contact Brett Fuller. Can I give your email out?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's Brett, B as in boy, R-I-T-T, at livingstones.la.org. And if you didn't get that, don't worry about it. Don't stop driving. Don't grab for a pen. Just go to the podcast and look up this date, the date of this broadcast, and you'll be able to find the information there, because I will make sure it's posted there so that you guys can find Britt and Livingstone's Church, because I think it's a wonderful thing to have. And if you're listening right now and you can think of, let's say the Lord is prompting you to maybe start something very similar to what Britt has done here. You know, he could be a vehicle to help you with making this happen. So you'd be okay with that, wouldn't you, Britt?
For sure.
Sure. So what's your favorite scriptures? Give me some scriptures that kind of keep you going in this thing called life.
Yeah, I think one that I mentioned from the 1 John chapter 2, that we ought to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. That's something that I think growing up in the church, and I actually grew up in the South, and so very much the culture of the church that was there of actually being doers of the word, as we've worked through the book of James, that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And so that that our faith would find action. Our faith would be, you know, founded in God's truth. It would be very real, and we would proclaim it. We proclaim God's word and preach God's word, but we would also demonstrate his word as well. and to just be able to do both. And sometimes I don't think that's necessarily a balance. It's not that we're doing 50% of one and 50% of the other, but truly 100% of both, that that's what God calls us to do. And so I see that through God's word just repeatedly, this idea of both and, like you said, as to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we have to do both, and it's not one or the other.
My mother used to have something she'd say is, your actions speak much louder than your words. And that's so true. Our words are important. We've got to guard our mouths and watch what we say and be encouraging and edifying to one another. But you know what? Follow up whatever it is you say with your actions. Make sure that your actions and your words match. So if you want to be a doer, then be a doer. Do God's work. Look for an opportunity. And it's not that hard, is it?
No, God gives you opportunity for sure.
All the time. There are so many needs out there. You don't have to look very far to see that you can help another person. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to offer. So you said Sunday is a fellowship and you have church service. And then during the week, what does it look like? Is there things going on during the week?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything, I think, within our kind of how we operate should be based on relationships and as we interact with each other. As we talk about being kind of gospel driven, would be our core value, that everything is because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so as we're gospel driven, as that moves us to action, like you said, as that moves us to be doers of the word, that really moves us into two areas of relationship. And that would be, we say, being church centered. So this idea of community, of this fellowship of believers that we have, and as we live in each other's lives and share life together, but then also being neighbor-focused. So we're loving on our neighbors, loving them as ourselves. So those are our two areas that we focus on in regards to relationship, as church, within the church, being church-centered, and then in our neighborhood, being neighbor-focused. So for fellowship, we have, actually last night, we had a meal at our house. We have meals that everyone is welcome to. And do those in our apartments, and do those several times a month. We also have discipleship that's going on, where we really feel like that is our mission, is to make disciples. And so our discipleship, we really have folks that are walking one-to-one with other people so that we can fully proclaim by word and deed the supremacy of Christ. So just really involved in each other's and each other's lives as we understand the truth and live out the truth and apply it to our lives. Yeah, and it's interesting. I've really been processing through this idea of relationships, and sometimes that sounds, you know, with my training or as you go to seminary, relationships sound a little soft sometimes or emotional, but yet I think relationships, as I said, that's what has been broken. That's what God is restoring, you know, is the relationship with himself and this relationship then with each other, and that we can truly understand God's truth and be able to apply it and clarify it, understand the scriptures through these relationships that we have with the Lord and with each other, and that gives us this place to understand his truth in a brand new way, in a way we might not consider if we just studied it and learned it with our heads.
So how many lives, I don't know if you know this number, but because of this ministry, how many people have turned from the world way to the God way?
Yeah, I mean, we've had, and this is part of people like to ask, numbers. And
I know it's hard because you plant a seed the size of a mustard, right? Mustard seed, and you have no idea it can move a mountain. But
so
you really don't know.
Well, absolutely. But I like one of the ways of continuing with your hand at the plow, trusting the Lord that this is what His Word said, and we can be faithful to that.
So, Britt, we're going to be ending this show now. And so what I would like is, could you just say a quick prayer for the listeners and for your ministry and just put those words out there?
Absolutely.
Okay,
thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would use it as you see fit, Father. Lord, I pray that you would use us as broken vessels, Father, but willing to serve you, to be used by you. So, Lord, I just pray that be less of us and more of you. I pray that you would be glorified through this, through the words that are spoken, that your Holy Spirit would just use that to pierce hearts, to change lives, to transform lives, Father. So I just pray for our conversation. I pray that it would be edifying, it would be honoring to you. Lord, and I pray that you would use it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So whatever it is, get out there and make a difference in this world. Just one smile, one hug, just one kind word at a time. Look for a need and fill it. That's my word to you today. And God loves you. And till next week, make yourself a blessing to someone today.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. cola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. cola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. cola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. cola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. cola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. cola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.